Good evening and welcome to We the People. Whenever there is an armed conflict, perhaps for any government anywhere in the world, apart from the retaliation that does take place in an insurgency zone, which has to be also armed in nature, perhaps every political dispensation hopes that a long-lasting solution to conflict can only lie in the laying down of arms by those who have decided to take them up. Which is why it becomes so critical that we have a cogent surrender policy, a rehabilitation policy. The fact that we actually don't have this was exposed with the case of Liaquat Shah, somebody that the Jammu and Kashmir police said was returning to surrender, but the Delhi police argued was still an active militant. That case is now with the NIA, but it has opened a public debate on whether India needs to relook what sort of surrender and rehabilitation policy we have, and what happens to those who actually pick up the gun and then decide to lay it down. What happens to their stories? Is it really from guns to roses, or perhaps not? That's our program on We the People today. So let me start with you, General Jaiswal. As somebody who has served in Jammu and Kashmir, there are many who are concerned that what has happened with Liaquat Shah would actually send a poor signal to others who may have contemplated laying down their arms. What we saw in the early years of surrendering militants in the valley is that the army or the security agencies would encourage them to surrender only if they somehow became informers. What is your take on those who want to lay down their arms?
First of all, you made a mention about Liaquat Ali Shah. I totally agree with you that it has definitely affected the minds and psyche of the people who are sitting across. They'll have a second thought on it. But the question is, why exactly it happened? You see, only four routes have been identified in Nepal, you see, which has not been recognized as yet. Now, four routes were recognized on the premise that Pakistan will be on board. Well, sorry, they are not. And I personally feel that Nepal should be recognized and we should have transit facilities over there, I'll call our safe houses or whatever it is. They're booked over there under IMA, etc. The laws are there. And thereafter, they have a certificate and they come. Delhi police wouldn't have acted on them, I suppose so. Now, whether the army wants to encourage, you know, I'm a firm believer. I was in Four Corps, and if you've been following the story there, we did decimate the Alpha in great measure. Mm. And the most potent instrument that I used was surrender policy. And I think testimony to that is now, I think January 2012, we had 1,855 people from nine groups surrendering.
How many of these people came back and became informers in some ways for the security agencies? Because my question is this, that there's usually an ideological reason that somebody picks up a gun. So even if there's a disenchantment with that ideology, the solution for that person coming back may not be to come and work for the forces.
You see, it's not that we force them to work as informers. What happens is, if he works as an informer for us, we give him remunerations. After all, if he's come in, he is also used, not only as an informer, he's also used to trigger more surrenders. When people don't surrender and they're carrying out terrorist activities, well, they need to be decimated.
Okay. Gulam Rathipari, representing the National Conference, the question is this. While General Jaiswal talks about Pakistan not really facilitating any line of control routes for those who want to come back, and that point is taken, the fact of the matter is that in this case, it's very hard to understand why the Jammu and Kashmir police and the Delhi police could not be on the same page. Where did we go wrong?
We cannot expect Pakistan to help us. That should be taken for granted, that they will not help us. They will try to create hurdles. In any such process, which is aimed at reconciliation and rehabilitation of militants, on our part, if Delhi police got intelligence, it could have been shared with the Jammu and Kashmir police. It has not. What General Jaiswal has said, it's all truth, but some unpleasant truths, they are not going to divulge here. There is a competition between the agencies to secure militants, to secure surrenders, to secure arms, to get promotions, to get medals, and maybe some booty also.
How can you say booty? That's an irresponsible thing to say.
I take a
How can you say booty? Everything else is your opinion, but you can't say the last point without evidence.
We have seen in fake encounters, some person was taken, killed somewhere, and a gun was found on him. Where from that gun came?
So your point is that there's a competitive one-upmanship between the agencies. But isn't there a political accountability? Very briefly before I go to the others as well. For example, your government has said that there aren't actually enough jobs or educational seats in the valley to go around for these people who are coming back. So there's also a political problem.
The unfortunate thing is that political issues are being discussed by the police officers and generals. There was an unwritten code of conduct for generals, for police officers, till the time Mrs. Indira Gandhi was in power. It got diluted, and I believe we had Atal Bihari Vajpayee as the last visionary leader. Such policies are envisioned, such general policies, etc., are envisioned by visionary leaders.
So it's interesting.
Not crafted by bureaucrats and generals and police officers.
Now, this is not a political debate. It's interesting that so many Kashmiris keep talking about Vajpayee as the last visionary leader, but actually the BJP in the state has opposed a surrender policy, saying it's giving amnesty for militants. General Jaiswal, if you want a one-line comment, and then I want to take this to Maxwell and then Swaranjit.
I would just like to say that how exactly military plays a major role.
Yeah.
For instance, the surrender policy which was made in Assam, the military made it for them. Over here, what was made in 2004 and 2010, the military has not been incorporated totally. An important facet is de-indoctrination. Like, I'll give you an example. In 2006, one of our jawans happened to cross over. He stayed there for 1 month. When he came back, he was singing Quran and he was just talking and singing Pakistan. In 1 month, they indoctrinated him to that level. What about the terrorists who are there for 5 to 7 to 10 years?
But here's my question, and I don't know if de-indoctrination is actually a realistic goal. You can't expect somebody to return to a conflict zone where violence is still there, where the conflict is still alive, and somehow come back with a completely different mindset. B.J. Varghese, if I can get you in before I go to the police representatives on our panel. What do you make of the arguments you're hearing here of the competitive one-upmanship according to the National Conference politicians between agencies to procure surrenders?
I think that's certainly so. The extent might vary. It's a matter of argument. But I don't think that it is non-existent. It is there. There is that element of competition. Yeah. All that is there. There's no well-thought-out rehabilitation policy. And in Assam, for instance, Ulfa turned into Sulfa, and many of them were used as political brigades for whichever party was in power. Yeah. Now, all these things happen because there are not enough jobs to go around for those who are already there, let alone those who come back. But these have to be factored in. Otherwise, the policy is going to fail.
In the Kashmir Valley, in the early years, the surrendered militants became Ikhwanis, completely disliked on the ground, actually exacerbating the problem, making it that much worse. Maxwell Pereira, speaking from a police officer's perspective, it's very difficult for an ordinary person to understand how there can be such two competing narratives. Let's take the Liaquat case, for example. How can one police force have a completely different assessment and another police force have a completely different assessment?
Barka, let me first of all differentiate between the intelligence sharing and operations, you know, aspects being shared. You know, nobody shares the operational aspects. I believe in this case the intelligence was shared by, you know, the national agency. It was there, Delhi police acted on that.
But the intelligence bureau at the central level also cleared Liaquat for a surrender.
Yes, but then what happens if that is done at the national level? Then the actual travel, whichever the route is used, if there are reception agencies, if there are centers where they could have come and that thing, the person is given a certificate that yes, this is a genuine surrender. Now, Delhi police sitting in Delhi is not having somebody on the border. Think of the Bombay case, the 2611 case. Yeah. The intelligence report was there about the terrorists coming by sea route.
Yeah.
It was not acted upon. It was in the...
What are your concerns in the police officer?
My concern is that what would you feel as a police member if some information comes to me and I sleep on it, trying to verify, am I stepping
into... So concerns on the surrender policy are what?
No, I have no... It's wonderful to have a surrender policy. But then how best to, you know, operate it, how best to, you know, sort of coordinate these things it obviously...
But here's the question. Was it just an absence of coordination, in which case this would make it a one-off problem? Ajoy Bose, speak a little bit about your own experience. I'm not drawing direct parallels between what's happening in Jammu and Kashmir, what's happening in the Northeast, and what's happening with Naxalism. But you have quite often written about how when you were growing up, you were actually drawn to the Naxal movement, and you wrote quite grippingly about an episode where there was one instance where a group of young Naxals were actually charging at a rich moneylender who was obviously seen as a figure of oppression. And when you had your knife unsheathed, you found that though you were meant to lead the charge, you just couldn't do it. When there's ideology at the heart of violence, what happens? How many people are really able to walk away from it?
It's a very, very difficult task, really. A whole number of young students get attracted. And, you know, this happened in Latin America, in Africa, Asia, at certain parts of Europe as well. They got attracted to these violent ideologies in the late 60s, the early 70s particularly. And then many of them came back. But, you know, a lot of them could not come back.
Yeah.
Not because they didn't want to come back, but because they found it very, very difficult to be rehabilitated.
Yeah.
Now, in my case, for instance, my father was a very senior bureaucrat.
Yeah.
And that was 40 years ago, more than 40 years ago. So, but what I'm trying to say is that this is a very difficult process. But unless we treat it with the kind of attention and focus and sensitivity, it's much better not to have a surrender policy.
You mean that a poorly conceived or implemented surrender policy is worse than having none?
It will be counterproductive. I mean, surrender policies work very well with the dacoits of Chambal. If you remember,
Phoolan Devi
contested elections.
Yeah.
And she was a dreaded dacoit.
Yeah.
So I think these things can be done.
Can I ask you, there are people who will say that, look, if, and the surrender policy, by the way, does make exceptions for heinous crimes. It says that if there are heinous crimes, there can't be a general amnesty. But the fact is that those who surrender could have been part of seriously violent acts. You know, when you decided to embrace a violent movement as a young man, did you actually think that you would kill for the cause?
Well, you know, at an intellectual level, violence seems so attractive sometimes, you know. But when it comes to a practical level, it was absolutely abhorrent.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was something which was so overwhelming that you didn't want to at all participate in it. And that was a huge learning curve because you actually were faced with that. But some people cross that line. But it is a desperate ideology, and it is becomes a militarist mindset. And therefore, in the forest, they're probably ideologically motivated, but they're boxed in.
And then they don't get
very
it out.
Difficult.
Now, Swaranjit Sen, as somebody who's been the DGP of a state which has dealt with, for example, the Naxal challenge, would you as a police officer encourage a surrender policy?
For me, the bottom line is state security or national security.
Yeah.
Now, when you talk about surrender policy, Andhra Pradesh has always had it. Even now, in bits and pieces, people are surrendering. But they never come to us without burning their boats. That means they cannot get back to the movement. They come with certain information which will be useful to us. It is on that basis that we accept that this guy has really changed.
But should that be the basis?
Yes,
because then you are boxing them in further.
I still say that is the best approach. And why do other people come? Because they need some medical attention. Or because somebody's sister or mother has been ill-treated or raped. Now, these are the factors which really turn the Naxal heart against Naxalites.
But here's my question to you, Ashish Nandi. Then what we are saying to somebody who's picked up a gun is that effectively you have two choices. One is to keep holding that gun up, and the other is to put down that gun, but in some ways help the security agencies.
I think that's a very short-sighted way of looking at it. I have constantly seen in India that we want to retain certain territories, but we don't care about the people who inhabit those territories. And that is why we think that the ones who are surrendering, we are obliging them by accepting their surrender. They have to serve us. Actually, when somebody surrenders, he is making a statement about how our society can be left little less brutalized, little more human.
without the intervention of violence. It is the first priority is not national security, but how to sustain a human, civilized society.
Saranji said you want to briefly,
that is the importance of
surrender. Briefly respond to that.
And that is, that dignity was granted by people like Jayaprakash Narayan. Therefore, the surrender of the dacoits was so meaningful.
Quick response there.
Surrender of dacoits is a totally different thing. I mean, it was a social problem. And
but these people are fighting against social order.
They are fighting against a social order with a kind of indoctrination. So it's two different things.
I want to come in.
Yeah. And then I'll come to you, Patricia.
The problem in Kashmir has a different genesis. We have the rehabilitation problem right from 1947. People migrated from one part of the country to other part, to a new country. But in Jammu and Kashmir, the families got divided.
But we are Indian talking about people who picked up guns and gone to training camps on the other side of the line of control, not divided families.
The rehabilitation policy that has been introduced, I believe, to my information, to the best of my information, it does not include, as of now, those who have committed any crimes.
The surrender policy does not cover heinous crimes. So why make it a national security issue?
You're saying, I think we are mixing up the policy which is there.
Yes, there's a different policy for Naxal, there's a different policy for Jammu and Kashmir. We have to separate them.
But surrender policy also includes those people who have done heinous crimes. There'll be no general amnesty for them. They will be charged for their crimes. But why should these people come back? There's a reason for it.
Yeah.
You see, if you analyze the operations in J&K, each terrorist has a lifespan. They say, okay, fine, we want to lead a life, what we have done. They realize what fault they had done. They come and suffer the what they call punishment, and they are back to the families.
But Patricia,
the ties are there.
If I can ask you, because in your writings you have also raised the fact that you have to have an emotional consensus. That is very important before you have a surrender policy. Mm-hmm. And what we see here is actually there is such a division on how to treat somebody who's picked up a gun. Even the Chief Minister of Jammu and Kashmir was quoted as saying that he can't create incentives for those who made a choice at some point to pick up a gun. He can't incentivize that process. He can be humane about it, and you have to have two separate perspectives on that. You have spoken about what about victims of militancy?
Barkha in Assam, a forum has been formed of 500 people belonging to the families of terror victims. And they are against this idea of granting bail to a leader of the NDFB who has been responsible for the bomb blast in October 2008, which killed 100 people. Over and over again, you see that the central government goes out of the way to get these very, very brutal militant leaders granted bail. The people are saying, why do you have to grant bail to these people before you start peace talk? And the problem I see with the general's point is, why should the army or the police craft out a surrender policy? Because ultimately the surrenderees will be coming back and living with civil society. Yeah. Why isn't civil society allowed to have a say on what would be the best way forward?
Yeah. Can I make a point?
Yes.
We have to be very clear. A vast majority of people who want to surrender actually have not committed any heinous crime. We have to make a distinction between those people and people who have actually murdered.
Most of these people are not ideologically oriented in the way we think. Most of the Adivasis who are supporting the Maoists cannot spell the name of Mao because they are desperate people and has risen in rebellion. And if some ideologues have given it an ideological meaning, that is not their responsibility.
Okay,
so they don't have to be de-ideologized.
Okay, let's hear from
almost therapeutic.
That's all right, but don't you think there should be some system of ensuring that they don't get back?
They will not get back if you do not have disincentives for them to stay back.
Okay,
so I don't think
if you are just and fair to them, they will not get back.
Yes,
it's a terrible life out there.
Yeah, there's something very brutal actually. As you said, violence is an abstraction, sounds wonderful, but when you actually have to pick up that gun and live that life, it is a brutal life. To my right here, we have two people with us who actually did go across the line of control. They picked up the gun when they were very young. They became militants and then they came back. Abdul Majid Bhatt, aap se shuru karna chahungi. Aap कि क्या उम्र थी जब आप एलओसी पार करके पाकिस्तान की तरफ चले गए?
मैं करीबन 16 साल की उम्र में चला गया था जब एक वेव चली जम्मू कश्मीर।
कब की बात है? 89 90।
तो
एक तरह से 16 साल तो बच्चे ही हुए।
हाँ, जिस तरह मैं
उस वक्त
16 साल जाहिर सी बात
है। और वहाँ पे कितने बरस बताए आपने?
ये मैंने कोई 22 बरस के बाद मैं वापस आया।
क्यों फैसला किया आपने वापस आने का?
एक दो बातें हैं जो शायद किसी की समझ में शायद यहाँ बैठ कर नहीं आएंगी। वो ये है कि एक तो हमेशा एक इंसानी फितरत में ये बात है कि इंसान चाहता है कि वो अपने वतन में आए, क्योंकि उसको वो अपनी गलियां, अपने वो जो है ना, वो जो उसके पेड़ पौधे जिनमें वो पला बड़ा है, वो उसको बड़ा जो है ना वो तंग करती है। एक तो ये है। दूसरा, अगर किसी के जहन में ये था कि हम वहां कोई, हमें वहां फाइनेंशियल सपोर्ट नहीं थी या वेल ऑफ नहीं थे, ये गलत बात है। लेकिन हमें ये एहसास था कि हम वापस जाएंगे और अपने वतन में जाएंगे और अमन की जिंदगी गुजारेंगे। हमारे पास छोटे नन्हे नन्हे बच्चे थे तो उनकी उनके लिए भी, और साथ में ये कि हम चाहते हैं कि जिस तरह अभी पिछले 20 साल से हमने सफर किया है, आइंदा हमारी नस्लें ये सफर,
बच्चे ना सफर करें,
ये ना सफर करें। 2010 में चूंकि एमनेस्टी का ऐलान हुआ, या किसी तरीके से भी जम्मू एंड कश्मीर गवर्नमेंट ने कहा और मरकजी गवर्नमेंट ने कहा है, 4 पॉइंट्स इन्होंने दिए हैं जैसे जनरल साहब अभी फरमा रहे थे। ये किसी की जरूरत ही नहीं है कि वो उन 4 पॉइंट्स से आए। ये जो है ना, ये वो शेख चिली के ख्वाब हैं। कतन नहीं आ सकता है, न उनको पाकिस्तानी अथॉरिटी आने दे सकती है और न इंडियन अथॉरिटी। वहां
तो नेपाल से ही आना पड़ता है।
वहां से फिर हमने
नेपाल से आए थे।
हाँ, मैं नेपाल से आया हूँ। एक चीज मैं और मेंशन करना चाहता हूँ कि 25 साल तक हिंदुस्तान गिड़गिड़ाता रहा पाकिस्तान के सामने कि आप अमन अमन के लिए कुछ करें। पाकिस्तान ने उस पर अमल किया या नहीं किया, लेकिन एक जवान ने, एक कश्मीरी ने, एक यूथ ने जो 16 साल की उम्र में था, 15 साल की उम्र में था, उसने उस चीज को लबैक कहकर वाया नेपाल से 3-4 लाख रुपया खर्च करके सब कुछ सहकर उनकी अपनी जान को थ्रेट है। अभी मैं आपके सामने बैठा हूँ, क्या मैं अपने आपको सिक्योर समझता हूँ? ये मेरा अंदर बोल रहा है। ये मैं आपको कह रहा हूं कि हमने सब कुछ छोड़ छाड़ के बगैर, विदाउट एनी हेजिटेशन, हम ये समझकर कश्मीर वापस आए हैं कि ताकि यहाँ अमन हो।
वापस आके क्या एक्सपीरियंस रहा? क्या करते हैं आप आज?
आजकल तो बस बेरोजगार हूँ। मैंने पीजी किया हुआ है अरबिक में, इस्लाम की यूनिवर्सिटी,
पोस्ट ग्रेजुएट डिग्री की आपने?
ग्रेजुएट, और यहाँ
पे पाकिस्तान
में, और उससे अलावा भी बहुत कुछ लिटरेचर पढ़ा है, लेकिन कोई दूसरा लिटरेचर नहीं पढ़ा है जिससे आप वो जो है ना कोई दूसरा नाम देते हैं, वो मैंने पढ़ा है। तो लेकिन यह है कि फिर मैं यहाँ आकर, अभी यहाँ मुझे स्कूल, प्राइवेट स्कूल में जॉब मिलती है वो 2000 में। क्या मैं एक बूढ़ी माँ, क्या मैं एक बूढ़े बाप और एक छोटी सिस्टर जो अनमैरिड है और 4 बच्चे और एक वाइफ जो खुद भी पीजी है, ठीक है ना, पॉलिटिकल साइंस में उसने पीजी किया हुआ है, क्या 2500 में मैं उसको पाल सकता हूँ?
अच्छा, एक बात आपसे पूछना चाहूंगी कि आप कह रहे हैं कि वापस आके बहुत बहुत मुश्किल है,
मुश्किल
लेकिन है। लेकिन आप कह रही है कि आपने एक लाइफ रिस्क ली है वापस आने,
लाइफ,
यू रिस्क योर लाइफ।
यस,
आपके साथ बैठे हैं अल्ताफ पानी। आप कितने उम्र के थे जब आप गए?
मैं 14.5 साल, तकरीबन 14.5।
14 साल?
जी,
15 साल भी नहीं, 14 साल। कब गए?
91 में। 91
वापस कब आए?
वापस मैं 2011 में आया।
क्यों आने का फैसला किया?
आने का फैसला तो शुरू से ही था, पहले तो जाने का ही फैसला नहीं था। मैं तो ये कहता हूँ, अभी जब ये सब भाई कह रहे थे जी हमने वो रास्ते दिए थे, उस रास्ते से नहीं आए, ये बड़ साहब ने आपको कहा कि उस रास्ते से हमने कोशिश की। जो एक रास्ता वाघा दिया था कि वाघा से वीजा लगाए, लेकिन इंडियन एम्बेसी ने टोटल इनकार कर दिए कि इस रास्ते से हम किसी को नहीं जाने दे रहे, ना ही गवर्नमेंट की पॉलिसी है। गवर्नमेंट सिर्फ झूठ बोलती है, करती नहीं है। मैं नेपाल से, ठीक है, उसके मैं 14 साल में, मेरा पहले फैसला ही नहीं था जाने वाला, लेकिन जब ये सिलसिला उठा है, एक वे चली, इंडियन आर्मी ने भी तंग करना शुरू कर दिया और जो मिलिटेंट वहां से आए थे ट्रेनिंग करके, उन्होंने भी हमें तंग करना शुरू कर दिया। क्योंकि एक इंसान की फितरत होती है कि हम भी अपने घरों में शरारती थे, छोटे थे, लेकिन जब वो लोग ट्रेनिंग करके आए तो उन्होंने भी तंग करना शुरू कर दिया। तो आर्मी में भी इतनी समझ नहीं थी उस दिन कि वो भी तंग करना शुरू कर देते।
वापस आके क्या करते
है? ये तो वापस आके तो कुछ भी नहीं करते, वापस आके तो बस सिर्फ रोना ही है और कुछ भी नहीं। बाज का ये तो मेरी बात है, चलो मेरी तो अलग बात है। हम 300 फैमिलियां आई है, 300 फैमिलियां इसी वादे पे आई है कि इंडिया कोई ना कोई सपोर्ट करेगा, जो कि इंडिया पहले चाहता था कि आए वापस की।
आप इसमें कुछ जोड़ना चाहते हैं? फिर मैं
यही कि 300 फैमिलियां जो वाया नेपाल आई हुई है, अभी उनको हमने एक प्लेटफॉर्म पे जमा किया है, पिछले दिनों 26 को हमने एक वहां श्रीनगर में भी किया था। 300 फैमिलियां हैं जिनके घरों में हम गए हैं, उनको घरों से निकाला गया है, उनके वो किरायों पे रह रहे हैं, भीख मांग रहे हैं, भीख मांग रहे हैं।
बरका, आई वुड लाइक टू क्लैप फॉर देयर आपकी हिम्मत और उसके लिए तारीफ देना चाहता हूं, जो आपका अंदाज है, ख्याल है, उसकी तारीफ करना चाहता हूं।
बीजी वर्गीज, द फैक्ट इज दैट द जनरल सेज गुड फॉर यू, यू केम बैक, यू रिस्क योर लाइफ, दे आर आस्किंग व्हाट हैपेंस टू अस व्हेन वी कम बैक।
Well, rehabilitation has to be an integral part of a surrender policy if it's to be complete, and it's to be worthwhile, and if others are to follow.
Yes.
If that is lacking, then it simply does not work. The state will say that where are the funds? What about
the
those
state
who
is
are,
saying that
those who are unemployed here, who were first right, they cannot get jobs, they cannot get into college and schools because there's not enough schools and colleges. What about them? The answer is there has to be a national policy about this. And it requires an investment, an intellectual investment, an emotional investment, and a monetary investment.
But my question is, I don't know if we are seeing evidence that investment is actually being made.
बदकिस्मती ये है कि कश्मीर एक बदकिस्मत खिता है, जैसे आप जन्नत कहते हैं जमीन की, हिपोक्रेट्स वहां कश्मीर में बैठे हैं, हिपोक्रेट्स दिल्ली में बैठे हैं। मैं जब सेंट्रल हॉल में होता हूं, आई गेट मैनी ईयर्स।
आप ब्यूरोक्रेट्स की बात कर रहे हैं, हिपोक्रेट्स की बात कर रहे हैं?
नहीं, हिपोक्रेट्स की बात कर रहा हूं, पॉलिटिकल सिस्टम में भी और ब्यूरोक्रेसी में भी। आई गेट मैनी ईयर्स ईगर, दे प्रिटेंड टू अंडरस्टैंड मी एंड दे प्रिटेंड टू एग्री विथ मी, लेकिन जब मैं हाउस में जाता हूं, अपने हाउस में बात करना चाहता हूं,
नो वन इज विलिंग टू से दैट ऑन रिकॉर्ड,
नो बॉडी इज विलिंग टू हियर देयर।
माय क्वेश्चन इज दिस, हूज मॉरल अकाउंटेबिलिटी इज इट, प्रोफेसर नंदी?
आई थिंक इट्स द रिस्पॉन्सिबिलिटी ऑफ द स्टेट, because the surrender policy is the state's policy. It is your bounden duty to take care of the people who are coming back in some way or other, and we have enough resources to take care of them.
Patricia, you wanted to come in there? Yes.
No, I just want to draw the attention of this house to a news item that appeared a few days ago saying that the Prime Minister is going to relook the surrender policy because it's not working. It's a policy that somebody says is a bad route for good intentions.
And if I can get you, General Jaiswal, the point is, you applauded these men. Now these men are saying, we came back, when we're sitting here, we are sitting targets actually, because you know, anyone could target us.
मैं आपके हिंदी में बात करूँ। ये हकीकत है कि जो भी वहां से वापस आए, इनके जान के ऊपर टेररिस्ट का खतरा है। मैं सिर्फ ये कहना चाहूंगा कि दो पॉलिसीज हैं, एक 2004 की है, एक 2010 की है। जो 2004 है, जो पहले से जेएनके में थे, जो सरेंडर जिन्होंने किया, उनको 3.5 लाख रुपए 3 साल के लिए मिले हैं और हर महीने उनको 3,500 रुपए इनको स्टाइपेंड मिलता है। इन्होंने क्या गलती की? इन्होंने तो उल्टा ज्यादा हिम्मत की वहां से आके।
साहब, इन्फ्लेशन बहुत है, हर चीज की कीमत बढ़ती जा रही है, लेकिन इंसानी जान की कीमत घटती जा रही
नहीं,
है
नहीं, प्रॉब्लम जो है फाइनेंस की नहीं है, प्रॉब्लम है रिहैबिलिटेशन।
बट सर, वी आर डिवाइडेड ऑन हूज अकाउंटेबिलिटी इट इज, बिकॉज व्हाइल सो मेनी पीपल हैव सेड डोंट आस्क देम टू कम बैक इफ यू कांट प्रोवाइड देम एन अल्टरनेटिव, देयर आर अदर्स लाइक पैट्रिशिया हू सेइंग यू नो नाउ इन द नॉर्थ ईस्ट इज अ फोरम ऑफ विक्टिम्स फैमिलीज।
But Barkha, I think it's very important that civil society
has
to be also involved. You can't just leave it to the state.
Yes.
This is a problem facing the entire community.
So, Max Shapiro, where are we going wrong? Community. Because obviously we're going wrong somewhere.
No, one has to also consider other points of view. I mean,
for example,
what stops the militant to use this platform of surrender and, you know, come for his ulterior motives?
You're saying tomorrow it could be a trick.
Why not?
Barkha.
Why not?
I mean, families I'm not please.
Saying, all that I'm trying to say is that the state should find funds to, have these kind of people. But then you cannot, you know, mix the two, the one who has taken up arms and committed crimes.
Well, heinous crimes are excluded from this.
My point is that Liaquat Ali Shah ke ek waqiye ko itna exaggerate na kiya jaye ki sari surrender policy ko aap mashkook bana de. Abhi Liaquat Ali Shah, he has not been proved guilty.
Yes.
Agar 300 families mein khuda na khasta ek hota bhi hai guilty sabit, still it is working. अगर वर्क नहीं कर रही है तो ये रिहैबिलिटेट नहीं हो रही है।
मैं अब्दुल मजीद पर आपसे पूछना चाह रही हूं, यहाँ पे कंसर्न एक्सप्रेस किया जा रहा है कि ये भी हो सकता है कि जो कोई वापस आए, ये कोई एक स्ट्रैटेजी हो सकती है किसी भी मिलिटेंट ग्रुप की कि भाई कह दो कि सरेंडर है, फिर या रिज्वाइन कर सकते हैं या कुछ और खेल हो सकता है।
अब आप मुझे बताएं कि एक बंदा 4 बच्चों को और एक बीवी को लाकर वहां से आता है
जी,
اپنے آپ کو تو وہ کسی جوکھن میں تو ڈال سکتا ہے، کم از کم ان بیچاروں کا تو کیا قصور ہے؟ میں یہ اس فورم میں بیٹھنے کے قابل ہوں؟ ایک سائڈ سے مجھے گدار کہیں گے کہ بھئی یہ ان سے ملا ہے، ٹھیک ہے نا، یہ تو وہی ہوا نا، نہ خدا ملا تو نہ وصال صنم، نہ ادھر کے رہے نہ ادھر کے رہے. ہم کمیٹڈ ہیں کہ ہم نے اپنے گھروں کو جانا ہے، ہمارے بچوں کا فیوچر سیف نہیں ہے اس ملک میں.
ڈونٹ مکس اپ دی سیکورٹی ایشوز.
He's saying what the chief minister said in the assembly as well. This is a man who came back holding his wife's hand. Is he going to want her to die?
Your point is very valid. You see, but the DGP JNK has also made a mention that the maximum of 1% are likely to recycle. Your point is absolutely valid. But in the larger interest, I would say if 100 people have come in, if one gets recycled, well, we'll tackle it.
That's what.
But at least 99 people have been
utilized. Absolutely. Let's hear an account from another part of the country. We have here somebody who actually, Ajoy, much like yourself, decided that he was drawn to the Naxal movement, but unlike yourself, stayed the course for many years. Ramesh ji, pehle hi aap bataiye ki ye jo Maoist movement hai, isme aap kaise shamil hue?
Main yahan karan aardhik paristhiti hai.
آرتھک پرستی، اکنامک سچویشن جو تھی. اچھا، کیا عمر تھی آپ کی؟
میرا 15 سال عمر تھا.
سو آئی جسٹ وانٹ ایوری بڈی ٹو نوٹ ون تھنگ، 16-year-old، 15-year-old، 15-year-old، 15 سال کی عمر.
جی 15 سال.
کتنے سال آپ رہے نکسلز کے ساتھ؟
87 میں نکسل میں جوائننگ کیا تھا.
87 میں؟
جی. تو 2000 میں آتم سمرپن کیا تھا.
سرینڈر کرنے کا فیصلہ کیوں کیا آپ نے؟
سرینڈر کرنے کے لیے فیصلہ بولنے سے ابھی میں ایک بات پیچھے جا کے بولنا چاہتا ہوں. کمیونسٹ پارٹی والوں کو کبھی بھی نیچے جا کے ادھیان کرتے ہوئے اوپر جاتے ہیں، ہمارا فاؤنڈیشن پہلے نیچے ہے. مین بات کیا ہے، میں شاسن ہم کو آشواسن میں دکھاتی ہے، لوگ آ جاؤ، آپ لوگ کیا ملے گا وہ ملے گا. یہ پہلے بہت ایسی پرسار کرتی تھی، گاؤں والوں کو پکڑ کے لا کے ان لوگ کچھ دکھا کے وہ پروموشن پاتے تھے، بڑے بڑے ادھیکاری لوگ کو. نکسلی کو ایک دشپرواب زیادہ پڑتے تھے، نکسلی پورا ختم ہو جا رہا ہے، ہم اچھا ہے، ہم اچھا کے لیے لڑ رہے ہیں، ادھیکاری فائدہ اٹھا رہا ہے، یہ سب غلط ہے بول کے. میں اسی نظر سے میں ایک مکھیہ کاریہکرتا ہوتے ہوئے میں آیا تھا کہ آج شاسن کیا اصلی پالن کرتی کہ نہیں کرتی.
ٹھیک ہے، آپ نے سرینڈر کرنے کا فیصلہ کیوں کیا؟
سرینڈر یہی ہے، میں شاسن کے سامنے یہ ثبوت دکھانا چاہتا ہوں کہ سرینڈر پالیسی صحیح ہے کہ نہیں ہے.
اچھا،
بس کتنا ستا ہے کتنا جھوٹ ہے.
کیا پایا آپ نے؟ اب آپ گارڈنر ہیں، آپ ایک ٹائم پہ بندوق اڑاتے تھے، آپ کھرپی لے کے پودے پلانٹ کرتے ہیں، ہے نا؟ تو کیا پایا آپ نے نئی زندگی میں؟
نئی زندگی کچھ نہیں ملا، پھر جو میں پہلے جو زندگی تھی نا وہی زندگی میں گزر رہا ہے.
کیا بات کر رہے ہیں آپ، بندوق اٹھانا چاہتے ہیں دوبارہ؟
نہیں، میں سوچا کہ ابھی اچھا زندگی جیوں، سرکار جو بول رہی ہے اچھا زندگی جیوں گا، پہلے پیڑھی میں تو میں اچھا نہیں جی پایا، ابھی شاسن اتنے بڑی شاسن ہے تو میرے لیے کچھ تو کرے گی، میں اچھا زندگی جیوں، خوشی میں رہوں. لیکن میرے کو تو ایسا نہیں لگا کہ میں آنے کے بعد اچھا زندگی نہیں ملا، پھر وہی بچپن کا جو زندگی تھا وہی زندگی میرے آپ سے بھی گزرا تھا. تو میں آنے کے سلنڈر ہونے کے بعد میرے کو جیل نہیں بھیجنا تھا، جیل بھیج گیا، جیل سے
آپ نے ڈیڑھ سال جیل میں بتایا، اور آپ کے خلاف انیشیلی مرڈر چارج بھی تھا، وہ اکویٹ ہوئے آپ اس کیس میں، وہ دوز چارجز ور ڈراپڈ. آپ یہ بتائیے کہ کیوں اس نئی زندگی میں کیا خرابی اتنی ہے؟ کم سے کم روز کی ہنسا تو نہیں ہے، کم سے کم روز کی گولہ باری تو نہیں ہے؟
وہ الگ بات ہے، گورہ بات میں الگ ہے، زندگی الگ ہے، سکھ زندگی الگ ہوتا ہے. وہ بندوق کیا ہوا، سمے نہیں آتے تو مارتے ہیں، مر جاتے الگ بات ہے. یہ آردھک پرستھتی کیا یہ سب سوچ رہے تھے، میرا آردھک استھتی انہ ہونا تھا، اچھا خوشی ہونا تھا، لیکن میرے کو نہیں ہوا. یہی سوچتا تھی اسی میں جا کے مر جاتا اچھا ہوتا، یہ جھنجٹ دور ہو جائے.
اچھا، آپ نے ریڈیو پہ سنا تھا نا، ایک ریڈیو پہ ایڈورٹائزمنٹ آتی تھی کہ سرینڈر ہو جائے سرکار کی طرف سے، اور آپ کو لگا زندگی اچھی ہو جائے، زندگی اچھی نہیں ہوئی.
دیر آر سو مینی اسٹوریز لائک دس.
یس،
دا گورنمنٹ ہیز ٹو بی سیریس. If they say they're going to rehabilitate, they must ensure that it is done properly.
But Ajoy, for you, someone who says that my economic life is the same, I'm going to say, my life is exactly the same, I may as well have died.
No, but he's absolutely correct. He's because right. Greece try and understand, we can't confuse security issues with surrender issues, because we can't let down a security guard.
Yeah.
But this is a human problem. We need to look at it in a very human way and see how the state, in cooperation with civil society, has to tackle this problem.
I'm going to take a break. When we come back, we seem to have agreed here that we are not talking about those who are terrorists, who have been involved in terror activities. We are not talking about those who are part of heinous crimes. When we come back, final comments from our panel on what they believe a surrender policy should be all about. Also taking some questions from the audience as we come back after the break. Welcome back to We the People. We're debating what's wrong with our surrender and rehabilitation policy. Do we actually have policies in place that can encourage young people who took up arms to return to the mainstream? Before we return to the panel, let's take some questions from the audience.
Yes. I have one question. Being from JNK, my only point is that if government is really taking a responsibility of providing them a better life, why aren't they actually sticking on to it? It is playing with the emotions of these people, and this is actually leading to a frustration, which is going to be a very big
problem. Yeah. So you're saying it's actually, in a sense, increasing the problem. Let's take a question here.
We're probably romanticizing it a little, in the sense that when we talk of young boys having gone away, either indoctrinated or otherwise, and now they've thought it fit enough to come back because they've seen a very bad life there, or whatever be the reason, as many of them have stated, does it also mean that they go scot-free, that they can actually say, come back and say, what have you done for me? The government's not looking after me. Have they taken responsibility for what they've done?
I think that's the hub of the debate, and I want Professor Nandi to take that. Is there a danger of over-romanticizing surrendered militants? Should they not take moral responsibility for the choices that they made?
No, because each of these problems we are talking about is a direct product of certain policy choices this country has made.
But that doesn't justify blowing up railway tracks, killing innocent civilians,
yes,
planting bombs. It doesn't justify that.
They have done so only when they have been pushed to the margin of desperation. And do not forget, the first Naxalite movement, which is now dead, drew our attention to the land relations in eastern India. The second Naxalite movement has drawn our attention to the extremely vulgar and obscene way we have treated our Adivasi co-citizens over the last 65 years.
But would you agree with Professor Nandi that when we see violence is the direct outcome of flawed policies, and therefore the state owes a moral responsibility?
I agree with the lady. It can't be a one-way street. After all, I was just asking the gentleman behind, I congratulating him for coming back. He spent 22 years.
Yes.
He got training. What was expected of him? What did he do? He said he studied Arabic. He got married. Yeah. He raised a family. He worked. Is that all? Isn't there a sense of disillusionment there? The promises made turned out to be a hoax. Having come back, the state promises, and I promises rehabilitation and so on. It may fail there. But it's not able to provide. That is a fault of the policy of the particular government. But I don't think anyone can claim as a right.
Let me ask
that
him
I have come back and therefore.
Let
I
me
must.
Ask him that.
The others will say 10,000 others. For everyone who's gone, there are 1,000 who stayed back.
Abdul Majid, but sawal ye hai. Aap gaye, lekin hazaron log na nahi gaye. Ab yahan pe ye sawal uth raha hai ki chale theek hai, aapne bahaduri dikhai, aap wapas aaye, achhi baat hai. Lekin iska ye nahi matlab ki bhai ab sarkar ki zimmedari hai ki aapke liye nayi zindagi banaye, kyunki aapne wo choice li.
Main chahta hu ki ye jo sarkarein banti hai na, ye desh ke liye jo hai na, uski behtri ke liye hoti hai.
Ji.
Theek hai na, ye sarkarein sirf apne jebon ke liye nahi hoti. Inko desh ki hifazat karni hai. अगर यही 4,000 जो इस वक्त देख रहे हैं ये टेस्ट डोज था 300 फैमिलियों का जो नेपाल वाया नेपाल से आई हैं अभी 4,000 फैमिलियां वहां बैठी हैं कि इनके साथ क्या होगा हम छलांग लगाएंगे ठीक है अगर ये इस मुल्क के जो है ना यानी हमदर्द हो यानी होंगे तो ये डेफिनेटली हमारे साथ अच्छा करेंगे ताकि वो 4,000 लोग आएंगे ताकि वो अगर उनके साथ यही सलूक रहा यही जो हमारे साथ सलूक है वो 4,000 दो साल बाद 16,000 बनेंगे
जनरल जसवाल इज इट नॉट अ नेशनल सिक्योरिटी एडवांटेज इफ यू कैन गेट मोर पीपल टू कम बैक
100% आई हैव बीन सेइंग ये पार गए इन्होंने कोई हथियार नहीं उठाया कोई हथियार उठाया आपने
नहीं खत्म नहीं
वहां से वापस आए हैं, 22 साल का खमियाजा इन्होंने भुगता है, 22 साल तक का इनको सजा ही रही है। अब जब ये वापस आए हैं, नाउ वी टेक द लार्जर सिक्योरिटी पर्सपेक्टिव, इफ दे डू नॉट कम बैक दे विल मल्टीप्लाई एंड वी विल हैव टू फाइट देम।
Yeah. Okay, hold that thought. Hold that thought. I'm going to take a few more questions, then I'll come to you, Ajoy. Yes.
I'm from Manipur. Yeah. And how far has the government has done about people in Manipur, about the ex-militants, in supporting their human rights as they have presented this, issued this policy of rehabilitation?
Okay, let's park that thought and I'll take that to you, Patricia. You have a question here?
Yeah, I'm from Kashmir and I'd like to say that the first Kashmiri to be selected for the Indian A team, cricket team, is son of a surrendered militant. So it shows that if given the chance, even the people and the children of surrendered militants, they can also do great things in life.
You want to add to that?
Yeah. Like, why do the government issue this policy when they break their promises?
Why does the government issue the policy when they break their promises? Patricia, go ahead. Yeah.
In the Northeast today, we have surrendered militants, and the policy says when you surrender, you also surrender your arms. But you're not doing that. You see, when the Boro Liberation Tigers surrendered, there were 1,200 of them, but they had only 500 weapons.
Yeah.
Now, last year, when the violence broke out in Kokrajhar, all those arms and ammunition that were hidden were used. And this is very dangerous.
I think that's a very important point to discuss, and we will do it. Let's take a question here.
There are certain politicians who have a criminal background. These people want to start afresh. Why don't we give them an opportunity? Why not?
Ajoy Bose, if you have politicians who can wave guns at toll booth attendants, why not give these people a chance?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you really look at some of their records,
yeah,
they are confirmed murderers.
Yeah.
They are confirmed rapists.
Yeah.
I mean, compared to a vast majority of people who are languishing in jail, who are languishing in the forest, haven't actually committed any grievous crime. So we should not romanticize. I completely agree.
Yeah.
We should have a pragmatic, practical policy without going overboard. So there is an actual problem of resources for everybody.
Yeah.
Even people who didn't do it.
Okay, so before I take final comments from our panel, let's just take a few more audience questions. Yes.
The manifestations of militancy and romanticism have their roots in identity and interest group politics, which are bound to multiply over a period of time. It's absolutely necessary that we'll have to look into low-cost options. And we'll have to realize the fact that the militants also don't have fixity of ideas.
Yeah.
We've had people who have had extremely difficult type of an environment to which they have passed through. But later on, they become pragmatic soldiers in national development.
Okay, let me just have this young lady here.
I want to reiterate the security issue because there is a 1% chance that these people can again instigate violence here. Because there's another thought that comes to mind here. Michel Foucault, in his book Discipline and Punishment, she talks about how rehabilitation kind of refines crime.
Abdul Majid, but aap se puchna chahungi, recycled militants ki baat hoti hai. कि आएंगे और फिर वापस चले जाएंगे मिलिटेंसी में, उसका डर है लोगों को।
ये कैसे हो सकता है?
वो तो सकता है, 1% तो होता ही है।
नहीं नहीं, 1% भी नहीं, मैं एक बताऊं
जी,
जो लोग फैमिलियां लेकर आए हैं वो कतर नहीं जा सकेंगे। अलबत्ता जो वो लोग हैं जिन्होंने अकेले में सरेंडर किया है, उनका तो हम कुछ नहीं कह सकते।
So you're saying people who come back with their families would not risk it? Let's take a question here.
Number one, I want to say, what defines a heinous crime? Suppose you're saying a person has picked up a gun. Now we don't pick up a gun to, you know, for a Bollywood movie. They have picked up gun for a cause. And we can't take their word for granted that they haven't killed somebody.
Ramesh ji se puchti hu, aap kabhi encounter ke hissa rahe?
Julian.
Rahe?
Rahe.
So he's saying he has seen violence as a Maoist. Now this young man is saying that if the gun has been used, you can't have amnesty.
How is possible? I mean, if we declare amnesty, you declare amnesty. Otherwise, don't declare it. Don't have a policy of rehabilitation.
No, but I want to come in.
Patricia, you want to come in?
I want to come in here.
Yeah.
Now, who is going to grant amnesty to whom? If you haven't lost your kith and kin, do you have the right to grant amnesty to somebody?
America, we have examples in Jammu and Kashmir and in Assam where militants who had killed were rehabilitated as politicians. They entered the state legislatures.
Yeah.
If their sins can be, their crimes can be pardoned, why not the pardon of a 14-year-old?
Okay, let's take a couple more questions.
Yeah, the way we are looking at it, these people have crossed the border, they have picked up the gun. It's not as rare. For someone who's living in Kashmir, for someone like me who has lived their entire life in Kashmir, if I were in 1989, if I were a 23-year-old or a 14-year-old, I would have picked the gun and crossed the border. It's not that uncommon. Thoughts like this have crossed our minds because we have seen conflict very closely. And Ramesh, for example, the only point in his life where he felt powerful was when he turned violent.
But are you romanticizing the gun?
Well, anyone who has seen the conflict very closely,
the state has romanticized the gun.
It's not all that.
You are witness to the euphoria that existed in the
1990s. I am witness to it.
Why are we not discussing
not
the injustices committed by the state with the people of Northeast and the people
Maxwell,
of Jammu and Kashmir?
Maxwell, the debate here by the young boy, raised by the young boy, is if somebody has picked up the gun, they should not be part of any surrender policy.
No, I would not go to that extreme level. There could be genuine surrenders.
Yeah.
You cannot have a hard and fast division,
yeah,
and saying that we have to do this or have to do that. Each case has to be assessed.
I want to raise a point that is it also that we actually respond as a state only to violence? Because there is an Irom Sharmila, she has been there on a hunger strike. I can bet to you that if she was blowing up railway tracks, this government would have been talking to her.
Let us not blame this entire violence which is happening in India only on militants,
yeah,
and insurgents.
Yes.
It is,
yes,
a very violent society out there.
Yes. Yeah.
A lot of people are committing violence, including people in uniform. You know, it's a very, very brutal society.
General,
and
Jaswal,
they are part of that
there?
Brutal society.
General Jaswal, do you want
and,
to come
you
in
know,
there?
So I think it's very, very important here.
There are two options. Be very clear on it. One, that guy sitting across who's done heinous crime, he wants to come back. He's not given general amnesty and he's put behind bars for that offense. On the contrary, if we do not show the door to them, it's a door in the sense to a welcome door to them, they are there, they will come and fight and kill more.
Okay, one question here.
Peace can never flow through the barrels of gun.
Yes.
Right. And we technically and apparently cannot punish somebody retrospectively just because he made a bad choice. Somebody who picks up a gun, he picks up a gun to use it. But there were people who did not use the gun, they just picked it up. Are we really humane to accept, and do we have a social consensus to actually accept these are as our lost brothers or something?
It's really also about socially accepting people back. Let's take a question here.
Why can't we re-look policies? We can work upon that.
Swaranjit Sen, the point that General Jaswal is making interestingly is that it is a national security advantage if you get people to come back.
As I said right in the beginning, you got to make sure that they are genuine.
Yes.
And that they're not going to return, otherwise what's the use?
What is happening with the policy now, they are left off and they come back after every 15 days. But what we tried in SAM, in 4 Core, was they were kept in the camps and depending on their conduct and their analysis, which was done in a very scientific way, once we found that this subject, no, he's okay. Say once in a month he could go home and come back the next day. If we find that a guy is likely to get recycled, then we should not vertical release him.
Okay.
But that requires these people to be in camps closely monitored.
Well, let's take a question here.
The problem also lies in reciprocation of the society, because I have a friend whose father was in Alpha, and after he surrendered, I was a very close friend. I believe that his problems doubled up, because when I called him for a birthday party once, he couldn't come because he didn't have guards. He secretly told me that I could be attacked by anyone.
B.G. Verghese, you were wanting to make a point. I have to start closing now.
I think it's a very complex problem.
Yeah.
It cannot be simplified. Every case is sui generis. Take the instance you talk about, not surrender, but amnesty. The Naga peace talks, going on for 14 years, is some kind of an amnesty. Now, there are violations of that, perhaps on both sides. But yet, we carry on with that. Because the object is to send a signal that despite all its flaws and faults, it is a humane state trying to operate in a democratic manner.
Mr. Verghese has mentioned. Now, you had somebody there who was the interlocutor for about 8 years. You know what happened? Problem was not sorted out, but he gets Padma Bhushan.
No, but that's not the debate. The debate is that you had a government willing to talk to active militants, and what do you do with those prepared to surrender? I think that's the point that Mr. Verghese is in a sense making, and that is my cynicism. My cynicism is that actually the state tends to respond more to violence than to non-violent movements. Last comment in the audience to my colleague, who's also from Jammu and Kashmir, Owais, go ahead.
Yeah. So, see, we are not talking about the retaliation policy. We're just talking about the rehabilitational policy. Yeah. There's a need to look at the things through a humanist prism, not look at the things militaristically or through the prism of national security. The government of India has been claiming that we are ready to go to any extent to rebuild peace in Jammu and Kashmir under the ambit of humanity. But listening to the stories of these guys, the kind of hardship they are facing, it seems that the reality on the ground is quite contrary. The government of India and the government of Jammu and Kashmir now needs to substantiate its claims with some tangible...
Last word to you. Got to close now.
Concept of surrender policy is very good, but it is useless if in case we cannot have an effective surrender policy. And there are a lot of factors which need to be included. For instance, had he got married in Pakistan, what would be the status of his wife?
He did get married in Pakistan.
Pakistan mein shaadi ki thi.
So, kya kehte hain ji, Kashmir.
P.O.K.
P.O.K.
Ab wahan pe kya, abhi aapke wife ka status kya? Ki wo Pakistani hai ya Hindustani?
Aapke saath hai yahan par?
Mere saath hai, lekin main usko Kashmiri kehta hoon. Kyunki uska...
But this happens to a lot of people.
These kind of things need to be taken into account. And another factor is that not a single hardcore terrorist has surrendered.
Yes.
From across. Let's get them back, the kitty reducers, and we'll tackle them.
So we'll end with this thought that, of course, we are not talking about hardcore terrorists. But the fact of the matter is, if the government can open talks with armed militant groups, then why not show more humaneness to those who have actually laid down their arms? It's an emotional, divisive issue, but one that needs much more attention than it's got. Because, as the security personnel on this program have also pointed out, it can be converted into a national security advantage. Usually societies that are just and humane also have a national security advantage. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.